Ms. White's grandmother had been one of those strong, pithy women whose sayings live on for a considerable time after they themselves have gone. Like great works of art or radioactive waste. One of her favourites had been, "She's prettier than she looks." Ms. White, sitting in front of her mirror, considered it for a moment, then turned it round. "Not quite as pretty as she looks." She imagined Gran saying it, and what the expression on her face would have been. All too easy. "Not nearly as pretty as she looks," she thought. "And you can put that down to far too many late nights, and rather too much boisterous living. Oh, well. Through with all that now, thank goodness." Her phone tinkled, and she dived for it like a seal. Notification from the Credit Mayonnaise, Geneva office. A sum of money had just been credited to her account. See attachment. She saw attachment. Were there really that many noughts in all the world? Apparently there were. Yippee. She looked round at the grey stone walls and bare flagstones of her chamber. She'd been in places like this a couple of times, in brief intervals between the making of one permitted phone call and the arrival of redemption, and had promised herself to avoid them in future, if possible. "I do believe my work here is done," she told herself. "I think I'll go home now." She gave the mirror one more look. It wasn't on the wall, and the answer to the question no longer interested her. But she asked it anyway. Force of habit, really. And then the mirror was filled with the image of a single glowing red eye, which gazed at her for a very long time. And when she tried to look away, she couldn't. And then the eye spoke. "Angelina Jolie, since you ask," it said. "If by fairest you mean prettiest, it can also mean most disposed to act in a just or equitable fashion, in which case I'd probably go for Michelle Obama or Pope Francis, but only because the choice is so terribly limited these days." "Or did you mean the person with the yellowest hair?" Miss White picked up the mirror and turned it round. No wires going into the back, but that didn't necessarily mean anything. "Who the hell are you?" she said. "Now, let's see," said the mirror. "You're familiar with the iPod, the iPhone, and the iPad. Well, I'm the iMirror. I'm the very latest thing." "Did you come in the last consignment?" "With all the other gadgets? No. I'm strictly homegrown. Nothing like me exists where you come from." The eye winked at her. "That curious knocking sound isn't the plumbing. It's opportunity." Ms. White frowned. "You're some sort of magic what's it?" "I don't have to be magical," said the eye. "From what I gather, I could operate in your environment easy as pie. I can be Windows and Android compatible just by wanting to. Not here, of course. But if you take me with you when you go..."
"Who said I'm going anywhere?"
"Oh, come now. Lying to your mirror is a mug's game. You've made a ridiculous amount of money, and now you're off home to spend it, somewhere over the donut. Good idea. An even better idea would be to take me with you, figure out how I work, and set up a production line. I'd fly off the shelves so fast, the slipstream would cause climate change.
"You're pretty sure of yourself," she said, "for a mirror."
"I have built-in self-marketing protocols," the eye replied. "Something that even Microsoft has never been able to get to work. But I can do it. I really am an entirely superior piece of hardware."
"Really?" said Ms. White. "What can you do?"
"You name it," said the eye. "Everything your existing devices can do, and I can show you yourself in the best possible light. I can even reconfigure myself so that you can bear to look at me after you've done something awful. Now that's got to be worth real money."
Ms. White thought for a moment. "How shall I put this?" she said. "You seem terribly keen to leave here and come back with me."
"I like to be in America, as the old song puts it. What's wrong with that?"
"All right," said Ms. White. "If you're really from around here, how come you know about Angelina Jolie?"
"Ah."
The eye sort of twinkled.
"Strictly speaking, that's not my opinion. That's a Forbes top 10 most beautiful list I saw somewhere. I had a brief insight into your world a short while ago, thanks to one of your wonderful gadgets. That's when I knew it was the place for me. Go on. Be a good sport and take me with you. I'll make you ever such a lot of money."
"Don't be too greedy," Ms. White quoted. "I don't know. There's something about you I don't like. In certain respects, you remind me of someone."
"Who?"
"Me."
"Ah, well, I would do. I'm a mirror."
"I'll have to think it over," Ms. White said firmly, and before the mirror could argue, she covered it with a shawl. She counted to 10. No voice. She pulled the shawl off and looked, and saw herself, her whole self, and nothing but herself, including the slight bags under the eyes and the fledgling crow's feet. Not the fairest of them all, not by a long chalk. "Oh, come on," she said to it. "You can do better than that." But nothing changed. "Talking mirrors," she said to herself, talking back to talking mirrors. "I really do need to get out of here before I lose it completely."